Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
Verse 24, it goes on to say, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Now, notice something very important here. I mentioned early on when I began in the sermon here about the Roman Catholics, the way that they observe the Lord's Supper, which they don't call it the Lord's Supper. It's the Eucharist to them, or Mass. It seems like every time they get together, they want to have some kind of Mass, and they bring out the wine and things. But the Roman Catholics take these passages of Scripture, and they state, since Jesus says that the bread is his body and the cup is his blood, that these elements are actually transformed into his actual blood and his actual flesh. That's what they believe. And so what they do is they get their priest to bless these elements. They'll get a bottle of wine, they'll get the thing of bread, and the priest will come in and he'll say some prayer over it and consecrate it, you know, and declare it holy, and now it is suddenly turned into, what's it called, substantiation is what they call it. It's turned into the actual flesh and blood of Christ, and that's what they believe. They, like I said, they don't call it the Lord's Supper, they call it the Eucharist or Mass. And they point to what Jesus told his disciples over in John chapter 6, verses 53 through 58. And this is what they base this on. It says there in John chapter 6, verse 53, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever." So what they do is they take these verses to mean that Christ is speaking literally about them eating his literal flesh and drinking his literal blood. In other words, cannibalism is what they are they claiming that Christ has done. You see, the problem with all that is they fail to rightly divide the word of truth and continue reading the Scripture and get it in its proper context. Because if they did that, they would go further down just a few verses, starting there in verse 60, where it says this. John 6 and 60. "Many therefore his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." And listen to these words. This is the key. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." So when Christ is speaking to his disciples, and they're hearing all this too, they're saying, "Well, you kidding me? We've got to eat your flesh and drink your blood? Is that what you're saying to us? We don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense." And Christ says, "Because you're not listening with your spiritual ears. What I'm trying to tell you is of spirit. I'm not telling you to come up and take a bite out of me. I'm talking about the spiritual things. These represent that. These are symbolic of this." So Jesus was using physical things to teach a spiritual truth. And that is how that he got his message across. He would not suddenly start teaching cannibalism. That was totally against God's word. Scripture forbids it. He would not start talking about drinking of blood. The Jews didn't even drink blood. They made sure the blood was removed from everything. It was sacred. And so he's not going to suddenly start teaching this. When he speaks of the flesh and his blood, he's speaking of his sacrifice of his own body when he would hang on the cross and he would shed his blood there at Calvary. That's what he's meaning. And so it's symbolic. That is what we must believe, and that is what we must take in. So if the Roman Catholics were right, Jesus would literally be having to give his life over and over and over every time somebody took the Lord's Supper. or the Eucharist, or Mass, or whatever you want to call it. But the Bible says this in 1 Peter 3 and 18, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." So Christ died one time, and it was good enough. He doesn't have to die over and over and over. And so if the Roman Catholics had it their way, then every time that Jesus would have to sacrifice himself every single time that they went through this. Hebrews 7 and 26, "For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, for first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself." One time, once. Hebrews 10:10, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So the blood, the bread, the wine, this is all symbolic, and the flesh of the blood of Jesus, not his literal flesh and blood. Now, this next part is one of those things that bother a lot of people. And more than I've heard it from more than one person, "Brother Byron, I'm worried to death when the Lord's Supper comes around. I don't want to take it. I don't, you know," and there's people that will not. I mean, they feel so strongly about it. And let's explain it quickly here as we finish up. Verse 27, back in our text there, it says, this Paul's teaching in Corinth, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So a lot of people see this, and they see that word damnation right there, claiming that somebody will be damned if he drinks and eats unworthily of the Lord's Supper. Now, that word damnation right there is a good word in the King James Bible, but it's used two different ways in our scripture. One way is to be actually damned to hell. Someone that never received Christ as their Savior, they are going to be damned to hell. Now, I'm not cussing up here. These are Bible words. I'm just telling you. And you find that usage of the word in Mark 16:16. Jesus is telling his disciples to go out and preach unto all the nations, just like Brother Green mentioned today, there in Mark 16:15. We've got the banner across our doors. You walk in the doors. It's up there on the wall. But as Jesus is giving that great commission, it says in verse 16 of Mark 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And so in that usage of the word damned, it is damning someone to hell because they've not believed in the gospel. But that's not the way this word means here in our text in 1 Corinthians. Here when it's used, it's meaning to be damned to judgment by the Lord. How do we know this? Well, because the next verses explain it there. Look at verse 30. It says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So if you belong to Christ and you sin, you are chastened. Why? Because you're one of his children. You're a son. If he didn't chasten you, you would not be a son. The Bible's very clear on that. You'd be a bastard. So when you sin before God and he chastens you, that's because he loves you. He's trying to bring you back in line, restore your fellowship. And so if you partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily, you eat it and drink of the damnation, that means judgment that God's going to pronounce upon you. He's going to deal with you in chastening you. And let me give you that text there in Hebrews 12, 6 through 8. The Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons." So, the fact remains, we do need to take of the Lord's Supper worthily. We don't need to do it if we have sin, unrepentant sin in our life. If you have something against someone, you're holding a grudge, friends, you need to get that cleared up. You don't need to come and take of the Lord's Supper and act like you're all holy and righteous and everything, and you're harboring secret sin down in your heart, unconfessed sin, because God tells us to go out and do this, to seek forgiveness first and then bring your sacrifice to the altar. So you do need to take it worthily. We need to make sure that we have a clean heart, a clean vessel before we partake of it. Do it in the right fashion, the right means. You know me, every time we've had the Lord's Supper, I try to give an opportunity for everyone to pray. And I'm going to do that here in just a second. I want us to pray. And if there is something that would prevent you from partaking of the Lord's Supper worthily, then you need to get that cleared up with the Lord. You need to ask for forgiveness from the Lord and get things right so that you don't take it unworthily. And so we need to make sure we do it right. And then some people say, well, Brother Byron, what if I don't partake? What would people think if they started passing out the elements and I refused? I shook my head no. Who cares? That is not about somebody else. It's about you and God. It's between you and the Lord Jesus. It's not between you and another person. So if you know you shouldn't be taking of it, or you choose not to for some reason, then that is between you and God. It's not between you and some other man or some other woman. And if somebody is looking at you and wagging their head and asking questions and wondering why, then they have a sin problem as well. And they need to get that cleared up. And so we need to make sure that we are taking this. And remember, we're partaking of this, observing what Christ has done for us. He's freed us from the bondage of slavery, of sin. Because of his sacrifice on the cross, we can drink this juice and that represents his blood. It's symbolic of the blood that he shed for us. We can eat of the bread, which represents the flesh, him personally. And he is the bread from heaven, the Bible says. And so when we break that bread, it is him that it represents. Think about those things we do that. And when you do take of it, it should be a time of refreshing for you. It should be a time that you remember what all he's done for you, what all you want to do for him. Ask him and pray and ask him to give you that zeal, that desire, that motivation that you need to share the gospel, to be more sincere in your walk with God. And it's a very serious thing. It really is. And so don't ever take it nonchalantly and just all this. Now, there's a few other things that I would include in this. For example, let me just give it to you real quick and then we'll partake of it. When you do partake of it, it's a very quiet time. We have a certain order of service that we do it in. Usually our deacons come and we go through the little ritual that we have where we hand the plates and they go and they serve you. That's what they're doing. They're bringing it to serve you. Christ served his disciples. And so they come and serve you these elements. And we all wait together. Nobody starts before the others, but we all do it at the same time. We read the scripture of what Christ did. We take of the bread and we eat that. And we take of the cup and we drink that. And it's a very quiet and solemn occasion. And so when you finish, you don't, you know, sit around and look and slam your cup down in the little cup holder, you know, clink, 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 clink all over the house. You don't do that. When it's ended, it's not a time to suddenly start blaring out and talking. I always think it ought to be observed where we quietly exit the sanctuary as we go out. But it's not a time of loudness, but it should be observed to be quiet. We just go out. I always like to sing a verse of a song or something before we go, and then we quietly exit the building. If you want to talk once you get out of the sanctuary, that's fine. But these things... While those things I just mentioned are not part of the scripture, what we're told to do, it's just part of the reverence of the Lord's Supper. Because if you take the reverence out of it, you lose the meaning of it. Everything should be done very reverent so that we always keep that in our mind. Verse 33, as we finish, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So with that being said, what I want to do at this time is I want us to have just a minute or so of prayer. And if you need to get things fixed between you and God, if you need to pray and ask forgiveness of anything and make sure that you're taking worthily, this is the time to do that.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.